Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. It is Saturday, April 14th, 2012, and boy, do we have a show for you today. So settle into your seats, and we're going to have one of the most important modern researchers on this show, looking at the world situation. I have, if you go to my website at www.zeropoint.ca, and if you go to the Zero Point Radio Show, you'll find links to our guest for today. Often in my explorations of the New World Order and looking at what's happening in the world over the past years, I've often quoted one of my favorite quotes. Is from J. Edgar Hoover, who once said, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists." Well, our today's guest is Henry Mackow, and he has published a book called Illuminati. And his comment is, "Humanity is the victim of a monstrous conspiracy of unspeakable proportions." Over the past 2 years, I've read three of Mr. Mackow's books, and I just most strongly recommend these books to our listening audience who want to become informed about the Illuminati, the control of the media, a reinterpretation of modern history. These are absolutely fascinating books of Henry Mackow's, and I feel very honored that we have him today as our guest for this show. I strongly recommend his books, and looking back over them today, I thought, oh, I have to reread everything I've read of his, because I'm more ready to grasp it all as he's brought me along, as many other people, exposing what's happening within the world. So I'm very thankful that Dee has set up today's show. So I'm going to bring the co-host Dee on and let Dee do a further introduction to our guest. And we're going to have our guest on for the first hour of the show, and then we'll take a five-minute intermission, and Dee and I will carry through the show after that. Okay, Dee, welcome.
Thank you, Christopher, and welcome, Henry Mackow. Boy, this guy is something else. He's pretty hot in the internet news these days for a number of reasons, which we'll be getting into shortly. But I can tell you from my own experience that I have always regarded this man as someone whose head is firmly attached to his shoulders. And I always saw him as a little bit misunderstood because of his firm stance on a couple of things like anti-feminism. And, of course, when he makes the links of what he means by that, then you realize that Henry is the eternal romantic and very pro-femininity and very pro-women. What he's against is having feminism manipulated into some kind of a succubus kind of environment, which is what we're seeing largely now. So
I love that spiritual element to his writing.
Exactly.
When he writes from a personal element,
exactly.
Level, what it means, relationship to
exactly.
Him and love and such. There's a real spiritual element to his book, and we'll explore that further today,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Now, in the meantime, I don't want to say too much more because Henry really can speak for himself, and we're wasting precious time.
Okay.
So let's bring him on without further ado. Henry, you've been making a lot of dust in the air lately with a few things you've been saying.
Well, thank you both, Dee and Christopher. I'm blushing. I'm actually beet red. I'm glad
Aww.
We're not doing this by Skype. And you've set a very high standard. I hope I'll be able to meet it. I'm always kicking up dust. My wife kids me about having a Rolodex, and I just take turns offending different segments of the population and disabusing different people of their, sacred cows. So what are you what dust are you referring to exactly?
Well, I can think of a couple right off the top. Okay, in fact, I can think of three that are really shaking the rafters. One is the comments that you've made recently about the AIDS hoax. The other is the what you posted, Anthony Michael's report on the U.S. not being the big financial superpower. Well, their credit rating just got slammed again. So how can they be a superpower with one of the lower credit ratings? You know, they're down to double A. Oops.
Right.
So,
and are you
going to
bring up homosexuality, Dee?
Oh yeah, and then on top of that, you've got the AIDS issue, you've got that issue, and then for some strange reason, all of a sudden Jeff Rentz goes off on your head. So,
oh yeah, that's actually you know, we don't want to waste a lot of time with Jeff Rentz, but I was a collaborator of his for 10 years and.
Yeah.
And quite respected him, and was quite willing to have this mutually beneficial collaborative relationship. I used to send him a lot of the stories he posted, but then he started. There always was a few irrational things he would do, but I took it in stride, given the good I thought he was doing. But then he started being totally irrational, basically told me he would no longer link to my site because I posted an article on my site which summarized Jim Stone's conclusions about Fukushima.
Yeah,
and that to me was just bizarre. I mean, I don't tell him what to put on his site, and here he was essentially severing a 10-year relationship over a conspiracy theory. Isn't that what we're all about? Which he didn't even put on his site. I put on my site. So I realized he was behaving irrationally. And I didn't want to make up. I didn't want to, cave in and kiss his ring and say, yeah, you're right, I'll take it down, blah, blah. He wanted me to apologize to him for even questioning his greater wisdom. I figured, no, he's gone off the deep end now. There's something definitely wrong. Well, I don't want to waste our time with Jeff Rentz, but
it turns out he's been
married 9 times, and he's been engaged in all kinds of behavior. You just go to my website. On the left side, there's the Jeff Rentz collection, and you can find out everything you want. The guy is not the man I thought he was, and so naturally, he and his cohorts are engaged in a campaign of vilification against me, which is just fine because they're just drawing attention to their own idiocy,
and their smears
and lies are just discrediting them. So enough with Jeff Rentz.
I would point out that at the same time as they're doing this, he's advertising through his secretarial staff for wife number 10.
Are you serious?
Says it all.
Well, yeah, doesn't it? Where is that advertisement appearing?
Well, I think you posted the letter on your site. That's where I read it.
No, that was what got him with number 9. I think he's taken that down now.
Yeah, I have no doubt, because it kind of proves what you've been saying. I mean, it's been a mess. But, you know, as much as it's an interesting story because of the kind of chaos that it's producing within the so-called conspiracy theory community, because now,
I think what we have to recognize is that that this community is full of charlatans. I regard David Icke as another charlatan. David Icke basically cut me off as well, just out of sympathy for Jeff, irregardless of Jeff's behavior, which indicates that Icke has no moral center either. And so I wrote an article called "David Icke." Forgot who he is, because he's always telling us to remember who we are, the title of his last book. So I think we have to realize that this movement is full of charlatans who are in it for the money. Rentz makes over $400,000 a year, yet he asks for donations. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I mean, if that isn't a charlatan, I don't know what is.
Well, maybe he's got a built-in political stripe.
Well, I wish Henry were making that. Anyway, Henry, why don't we leave Jeff Rentz aside for a moment?
Yeah, let's do it.
And how
let's
about,
leave
I would
him
be
behind.
In...
And let's talk about, Dee called me up about the Ontario government wanting to have homosexual clubs in all the schools.
Pretty much, yeah. This is a bill that, now McGuinty got such opposition from it when he brought it up a year or so ago, and then they backed down to public pressure and said, well, we will revisit the issue. Well, they're now not only revisiting, they're starting to implement. And this is part of the demoralization of this society. It's becoming such a rampant tide, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I've never been called conservative, you know, in terms of anything in my life. Never. Okay, but I'm looking at what's going on out there right now, and it is so superficial out there. This has been, and I come out of advertising, so I see how it's been done. I can unspin the spin, and I see how it's been done, and I look at these. I mean, it's like Beverly Hills 90210 meets that new vampire series. This is what's walking around on our streets right now.
True Blood. You're absolutely right.
I don't know if you've seen it.
Or Twilight. You're absolutely right. And what you're witnessing, Dee, is a deliberate degradation of society by the elites. It's deliberate social engineering. Mm-hmm. And we don't recognize it because the elites pretend to be benevolent. We don't realize that the elites are actually Satanists. I mean, it's bizarro to say this. It sounds like I'm some kind of Christian Bible thumper, but I'm not a Christian, and I'm not coming from a biblical perspective. I say this strictly from a secular perspective, that society is run by Satanists, and who are trying to induct us into their satanic cult. And this cult is the Illuminati, and if you want to go back into the background, it's essentially Kabbalism, which is an ancient pagan philosophy, which is what is behind Freemasonry and what is behind Judaism. And these people, through their control of the money supply, which they, as you all know, create out of nothing, have essentially taken over the world. And that's why I call my book Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World.
Absolutely.
And what we're seeing is a long-term process, but it's coming to its culmination, where they're actually inducting us into their satanic cult. That's what's happening, and they're using the mass media, and they're using the education system, and they're trying to make any opposition to that seem prudish and backward and conservative.
You know
and,
what?
And they're trying to make it look chic, as if going over the deep end into degradation and Satanism is progressive. That's how
now,
they're portraying
Henry,
it.
I was just
it's
reading,
chic. It's vogue.
I was just reading on your site the article on the AIDS hoax, and I was reading some of the responses. Now, one response that came from BG, okay, talks about the single-mindedness going to the double mind in the AIDS scam. And what she lists 5 points, and she or he is absolutely correct.
She.
It's a she? Good guess on my
part.
At any rate, she starts out with the AIDS scam, and she says, first, the general opinion was basically that if you live a life of debauchery, you will reap what you sow, and that's out of Galatians. Okay, then point two, then the fear propaganda, re-AIDS and HIV, was poured on sick, and we began hearing of care agencies, schools, businesses, and whatever, refusing to allow HIV-AIDS people in their midst. Then step two was necessary so that they could then turn the tide and begin shaming everyone with such attitudes and calling them cruel and heartless. Then they throw in the celebrities. And finally, there's politically correct public acceptance. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, holy smokes, that's Schopenhauer.
Well,
that's Schopenhauer.
Let's come
that
back
is,
a
just
bit.
Just a minute, Christopher, please. Let me finish
Well, we've
here.
Gone off from what Henry was talking about,
no,
and,
not
and
re-
it's
not
a
really.
Real digression.
Not, no, we haven't. Please, just let me finish. The point is, Schopenhauer said, all truth is first ridiculed, then it is violently opposed, and then it's accepted as it always was there. Okay, that's what Schopenhauer said. That's exactly what this is. And the methodology that Henry was just talking about is exactly that.
Okay, that was BG pointing that out. And I think she was relating that to something Tex Mars wrote. I'm not sure. In any case, you know, we think of this conspiracy as a as some kind of something small that's operating against against society, but actually the conspiracy is the establishment. Our whole modern world is the product of a conspiracy against God. In other words, it's essentially the bankers saying, we're going to decide, we're going to be God. We're going to decide what's true. We're going to decide what's good and evil. So you see what how big this is? It's a cosmic conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I fully get that. I don't know how many people really think that deeply, but it is that big.
And the way they're transforming the human race so that they can be God and we can be their servants and we can serve these Masonic bankers and instead of the true God, which is the natural, healthy design of, you know, of the Creator, so that man, you know, in which man would flourish. The way they're doing this is they're attacking four things: race, religion, family, and nation. Those are the four legs upon which our human identity is based: race, religion, family, and nation. And they're in the process of making all four of those things dirty words. They've already made race a dirty word. They've practically made religion a dirty word. They've certainly made God a dirty word. I mean, so you know they're Satanists. And they're in the middle of undermining family by the promotion of homosexuality. And, of course, they're phasing out nations and national independence. And the way they attack all this is by trying to have one race, so they're encouraging intermarriage, one religion, that's ecumenicalism, family is by they destroy family by having one gender, right? So we've got the attack on masculinity and femininity. We've got feminism, which is encouraging women to be masculine, which in turn disempowers men and makes them feminine, right? So they destroy family by having one gender. And, of course, nationhood, they destroy that by having one world government. And you can see that in the EU, North American Union, and Southeast Asian Union, African Union. You can see they're working towards destroying nation. So they basically want to take away all four legs of our human identity, so that they can reprogram us to be essentially be consumers and producers, and basically drones that serve their purposes, and their purpose is strictly Satanism, human degradation, and wealth and power.
And it seems they also want to significantly reduce our numbers along the way.
Well, you know, they're not doing a very good job, but yeah, that's what they say they intend to do. And, you know, they've done it in terms of the two world wars, and certainly, and the massacres in Russia and China. But yeah, they do want
a good job with Fukushima.
But, you know,
I
want to say something else, so people can recognize the face of this. In the article about Dalton McGuinty introducing these homosexual clubs. First of all, let's be clear about what that means. If you accept homosexuality as being healthy and normal, that's virtually the same as consenting to have gay sex, isn't it?
If they're
doing that in the schools, they're essentially grooming children who are immature, who haven't even come into their sexuality, grooming them for pedophiles. This is being done by our government. That's how serious things are. That's how far things have degenerated.
In this program,
now Dalton McGuinty is a Freemason.
They have six sexes listed. Six genders.
Pardon me?
There are six genders identified by the McGuinty government in this plan. Six genders.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And so he's a Freemason. And you've got to realize that it's essentially a network of Freemasons who are doing all this, who are essentially responsible for corruption and are essentially responsible for the degradation of society in this fashion. And just so you understand how powerful Freemasonry is, go down to College Street, go to the courtyard in front of the Toronto Police Headquarters, and you'll see a Freemason statue there, a police woman putting the capstone on the pyramid.
Seen it.
Which is the pyramid is a Freemason symbol. I mean, what are the people in Toronto doing tolerating that nonsense?
Henry, I have a friend in Ottawa, okay, who used to give tours of the Parliament buildings pointing out all the witchcraft symbols throughout the building. If you go through the Toronto Old City Hall, which is now the courthouse, you will find Masonic symbology all over the place. And you live in the city where they have the finest example of Masonic architecture in the country, which is the Manitoba Legislature buildings, which I know well.
Exactly.
That building is incredible.
And speaking of Ottawa, I was just visiting 2 weeks ago. On every bus, on every street sign, on every city vehicle, they've got this, essentially the O for Ottawa, with the three tails, 666.
Wow.
And the 666, ladies and gentlemen, and people are too brain dead, you know, from whatever it is, the chlorine or the chemtrails or just watching television, to realize that the symbol 666 is plastered all over their city.
And they're overlapped sixes with disparate tails. That's what they are, is overlapped.
Exactly.
And doesn't that symbolize
six.
Layering? The layering of the effect. There's provincial,
yeah.
There's municipal, and there's federal.
I mean, this society, you know, it's got this horrible cancer that is essentially taking us down. We're in a trance. We're falling into a coma.
Yeah, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah, for lack of knowledge, and does the mass, you know, is the mass media alerting us to some of this? No. The mass media is just keeping us diverted and asleep.
No,
the education system, is it teaching us truth? No. It's just teaching us lies. Our election, our political system, I mean, all the leaders essentially represent the same Masonic power. So, you know, the prognosis isn't good. I mean, as far as I can, you know, I can see the first thing people have to do is recognize that there's been a kind of coup d'etat right at the heart of society, and that you can't trust any of the messages you get from the sources of power. And that's why you have to break free and change, you know, your personal strategy accordingly.
Yeah, I think the best advice on that was given by Buddha, who said, don't believe anything just because somebody else says it's true. Believe only what you test and survey yourself and know to be true.
That's good advice.
Yeah, that was Buddha, so I think this has been going on kind of a long time. People are easily misled.
I just think that the masses, the majority of society can't contemplate a situation such as J. Edgar Hoover describes, a conspiracy so monstrous that it can't be conceived. And that conspiracy is that Satan lovers, disciples of Satan, are in the seats, all the seats of power.
Yeah.
They're hidden, of course, but they're there and they're controlling everything. And they've essentially hijacked the human race and are attempting to re-engineer us so that we can be Satan's little servants.
Wow. You know, it is mind-boggling.
It's
is
monstrous.
So monstrous.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you look at the, was it Hitler or Goebbels who said that the bigger the lie, the easier it was to sell?
And it's fulfillment of what we see in the Protocols of Zion, which perhaps, Mr. Macau, you might say something of that. Because we see, in a way, that was a blueprint for what's been done, and we're existing now in that state almost.
Christopher,
yeah,
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I'm
so
glad
you brought that up because...
But,
I'm glad you brought that up because you're absolutely right. That is the prototype. I mean, that is the blueprint. Mm-hmm. For everything that's happening in the world today, we just have to recognize that it represents the plan of these Masonic Jews, and doesn't represent Jews in general who aren't let in on the secret. Right? That's the way conspiracies work. They manipulate people. If they ever told people what the real agenda was, they could never get them to do it. So they give them some false reason for doing a good reason for doing the wrong thing. You see, that's how conspiracies work.
Exactly.
And so everybody's manipulated. Jews are manipulated. Canadians in Afghanistan are manipulated. Mm-hmm. Americans in Iraq or Iran are manipulated. Israelis in their next war are manipulated. That's how they work. They manipulate. They don't tell you the real reason for doing the wrong thing.
They give
you a good reason for doing the bad thing.
For themselves.
And as the motto of the Mossad says, by means of deception we wage war. And we just see that of all these terrorist acts perpetrated around the world, which were really false flag events. And all of these, the only way that these could be done is through the active participation of the media in actually even helping to stage these events and false flag events and staged witnesses. And the corporate media is completely duplicit in the whole scheme.
Absolutely. The wives of producers were phoning in to ABC and pretending that they saw planes crash into the World Trade Center. I mean, the media was an active participant in that hoax, the 9/11 hoax.
Have you, Mr. Mack, have you read my writings on that subject? I write and do a forensic analysis of Mrs. Renault's comments on how she's one moment is saying that she was watching out of her window and she heard an explosion and she's looking at the burning tower and she's saying, but I don't know what caused it. And then a moment later, you see a plane enter and hit the tower on the video in the background. And then all of a sudden she says, oh, there's another plane. Another plane just flew into the other tower, which absolutely belied what she said the moment before. My writings
are called
Fables.
I did read that, and I think I was I just didn't remember who wrote it. I think I was quoting you and didn't even know it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm contributing
also,
to the Vancouver 9/11 conference. Sorry,
Are you there, Christopher?
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry.
There's a book by Edward Henry called 9/11 Enemies Foreign and Domestic, which I reviewed on my site. And pretty well says the same thing as you and I are saying.
Yeah, we had Mr. Henry on as a guest about a month ago, and then we had him on again with Jim Fetzer, and we've been discussing the fabled airplanes and the no-plane theory and the role of the media. One of the most fascinating things Mr. Henry's book brings out is how all the CNN tributes to 9/11 victims were actually composed 10 days before the event because they looked at the Adobe Photoshop codes. So the CNN already had its tributes. They knew who the victims were going to be. I mean, that's just one of the evidences of the media's complicity.
It's scary, and I think the lesson we have to take from it is that this is all pervasive. We're labs. We're little mice. I mean, we're mice in a laboratory, a mind control laboratory. We're constantly being lied to and manipulated. And I think it's far greater than we imagine. We're living in it. That's what they mean by the Matrix.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is, obviously erect our defenses and tune all this stuff out and start getting our information from more reliable sources.
Have you heard of Ed Griffin's Project Red Pill, Henry?
No, tell me about it.
Well, this is kind of interesting. A little bit of cross-promotion here, but I think this is a damn good idea. What they've done is they've compiled a bunch of videos and on DVD, and they're distributing these things just about at cost, and they're encouraging people to copy them, give them away, share them with everybody, download files, do everything. In other words, help everybody to take the red pill.
Yeah, spreading information and the truth through an expose material, I think that's really profoundly important. I mean,
And essentially he's talking about doing it in hard copy because you can't trust anything on the Internet anymore because, you start doing this kind of thing and all of a sudden your server's down. If you hard copy it, there's nothing they can do.
Well, it's not that we can't trust anything on the Internet. That seems the only or the main source of...
No, I'm
we have
you
to be discerning.
Well, no, I'm not saying trusting it informationally. I'm saying it in terms of technically. They can shut us down.
Oh.
And they now have the legal terms to do it. And they are doing it. They are shutting people down. They are censoring information. This is another thing that's scary is all get out. Look how they've censored information on Fukushima. Do you not think that we have the right to know when we're being irradiated? And yet, I know you've commented a great deal, Henry, on Fukushima, and I know that article that you posted, the one that got Rentz's shorts in a knot, basically was mind-bending for me, especially the part where Jim Stone was talking about closing the nuclear loop. I mean, that to me was the biggest motivation for any kind of schniggity crooks going on in Fukushima. And now we've got all kinds of spent fuel rods that are in danger of exploding, and they're not telling anybody.
Perhaps Henry could talk a bit about his article further, Henry.
Yeah, that Jim Stone piece was awesome. That was awesome.
My role was simply to... help spread Stone's ideas. I was getting emails from readers who were saying, how come you haven't covered this? And I'd say, write up a summary, and I'll post it. And finally, someone did. This is after more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
This fellow, James Fargain, who lives in Korea and is in touch with Stone, he wrote up a summary, and So he sent me a summary. It was a good summary. I don't have the time to, you know, to read Stone's 50-page research paper. It sounded plausible to me. I post a lot of stuff. You know, I don't know if it's 100% true or not. I put it out there, and people can write in and say, no, no, it's all wrong, or yes, yes, it's perfectly true. I put it out there so people can consider it. And that's what I did in this case. You know, so I don't want to... I'd rather be an advocate for things I personally understand, like homosexuality, and what it's doing to the family and feminism and so on, and the protocols of Zion. These are areas I feel comfortable. I don't, you know, I don't know about Fukushima. I don't know the truth about it. Mm-hmm. I think Stone's argument is plausible, and it deserved to be heard, and so I posted it. And I couldn't understand Renz's reaction, but I do now. He's a psychopath. He's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, enough dust over him. But, I mean, the bottom line here is that we're all being affected by all this. And, of course, as we were talking about the suppression of the media and the participation and the ownership of the media, who owns the media? Well, gee, guess who?
Yeah.
You know, and we're not being told that we're being microwaved to death. You know, we're not being told anything. We're not given informed consent.
Microwaved through the TVs?
Oh, through smart meters, through radiation, through, I mean, excuse me, you name it.
Yeah, different sources.
No, they definitely are trying to enslave us, and this requires them to make us stupid and make us sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so it certainly is consistent. I mean, you look around the streets. It feels like I'm in one of these zombie movies. I see so many people who look like zombies, and they've got, you know, rings in their noses and rings in their ears, and they're it's like that zombie movie, except the zombies are all looking at smartphones. You know, and they're sort of like this. A herd of zombies coming at me, but they're all looking at smartphones. Well, maybe they won't notice me, but there is this general degradation in society. That, you know, it's like people don't know how to be beautiful anymore. They don't know how to be stylish. They don't know how to aspire upward to an ideal. It's all a going down to the lowest possible state. It's all degradation. It's almost as if, and this is what Satanism does, it turns evil into good and good into evil. And so people actually think that they've achieved something if they behave in a decadent fashion. And that's what's happening. Our society is decadent and increasingly so. Dee, I don't know if I'm 62. Most of what's on television today would not be allowed on television just 20 years ago.
Oh, I know. I'm
it would be considered obscene.
Yeah, I'm 63, so I too come from the era where in the Dick Van Dyke Show, he and his wife had to sleep in twin beds because nobody was allowed as a married couple to be seen in bed together.
Yeah, I remember that too, 1960, 62.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
maybe that's a little extreme, but it, this kind of filth that's now permitted on television is just unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
And it's a symptom of the fact that Satanists believe that humanity and the people express their humanity by accepting their most deplorable or at least their most animal behavior, as opposed to as opposed to aspiring to spiritual ideals. In fact, Satanists don't believe we have a soul. They don't believe that spiritual ideals like truth and goodness and beauty exist, and they don't believe that our souls. And as human beings, we aspire to those things, and they don't believe we're defined by those things. They think we're defined by our toilet accidents. And that's why we hear so much about toilet accidents and sex. They think we're defined by our natural functions, including
my
sex.
Background, Henry, as a I'm a psychologist, and I write on mystical views on consciousness. And the way I understand it is that, like, if we conceive of human evolution as an octave, as in the Gurdjieff teaching, or there being seven levels, and most people, Gurdjieff says, are level of man number 1, 2, and 3. And in a way, they're controlled by the three lower chakras, which in yoga are related to the motives of money, sex, and power. And that's the lower material animal nature of human beings. And most people, according to Gurdjieff and other mystics, don't attain to the next level, which is the awakening of the heart chakra. And once the heart chakra awakens, then one can illuminate the higher chakras. So what you describe is exactly how they have prevented human evolution, degrading human beings, denial of spirit and soul and God. And so people, often I would speak of those upright of heart or those controlled by their lower nature. And really, in mystical teachings, we want to become upright of heart and then attain to what you mentioned, the value of truth and beauty and love and compassion and such.
So Christopher, you hit the nail on the head. It's exactly that. And these low chakras are actually being legitimized and getting social sanction. And so people are being encouraged to be comfortable defining themselves in the lowest possible terms because we're being our evolution is being halted and stunted. They want us to be animals because they want us they want to domesticate us. They don't want us to aspire higher because that'll threaten their power and their control.
Yeah, it says even in the protocols, it says if the Goyim ever discover the one, we are finished. In other words, if we discover the lie that they've perpetrated on us, you know, that we are lesser than they, then they're done for. Well, I would think so. We kind of outnumber them.
Well, I hate to say this, but as far as I'm concerned, the only reason there's any freedom left in North America is because Americans are allowed to own guns.
That's right.
And when I hear reports of Americans stocking up on guns and ammunition, I'm encouraged.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm hearing, too, exactly the same thing, that Americans are buying guns like they're going out of style. And up here in Canada,
well,
we're
right.
buying incandescent light bulbs, for God's sake.
I would like to take a couple quotes out of one of your books and the Illuminati, and just ask you a couple of your comments. You say,
sure.
"Quote: Nothing would disturb the Illuminati more than a revival of belief in God," which is just as we've been saying. You say, "Mankind is in the grip of a multi-generational diabolical conspiracy and is too mesmerized by sex and money to realize it. Ultimately, the battle is for the soul of humanity." And that was most inspiring in your writing, Henry. Your work is astonishing. I don't think any writing gives us such an overview of how they've embodied these protocols of Zion into mass culture and such through the past decade.
Well,
we've never known
God,
life apart
God
from
is,
this.
Is God speaks to every one of us through our soul. Really, the real measure of our happiness is the extent to which we obey these messages we're getting from God and obey, and which translates into obeying God, which is the true meaning of religion. So God is our lifeline to to what is true and good and what is happy. And normally we ignore these messages because we're programmed to think that we're going to be happy if we can fulfill our desires, which are usually money and sex and power and fame. And in practice, if we analyze our desires, if we analyze our behavior and our experience as we try to fulfill our desires, we realize that our desires and trying to fulfill them is actually what's making us miserable. In other words, the things we do to make ourselves happy often make us miserable.
Well, you know,
it's a paradox, isn't it?
Thousands of years
trying
ago,
to be happy makes us miserable.
Yeah,
and so as the great teachers like Buddha, taught, you know, it's happiness and freedom, liberation is freedom from desire. When we're free from these desires, which are earthbound and, you know, essentially involve lust for money, lust for sex, then we're able to experience our connection with our soul, our spiritual connection with God, which is this great soul that that seems to animate the universe.
From my background,
and that's not original. I mean, I'm not pretending. You all have heard this before. It's been said 1,000 times. It's what Jesus says. It's what Buddha says. And it's the truth.
What I understand, Henry, from my study of Kabbalistic teachings, which I've studied for decades now, is that you've heard of the Zimzum contraction, whereby the infinite being, when he brings an individual being into existence, he vacates a space within the heart. So the Zimzum contraction, each person in a way at the heart of being is this no-thingness, and that the true desire of the heart is to regain that lost condition, regain the Garden of Eden. But instead, so people have this innate emptiness within the heart. And so most people are then conditioned by the lower desires, but it's only when one surrenders those lower desires that the heart's true desire is to regain this spiritual and divine experience, self-experience.
Charles,
you want to hear something funny?
You know, Charles, I may be prejudiced, but I have a visceral distrust and hatred of the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is Freemasonry. It is the blueprint. They basically try to assume the paraphernalia of religion, but it's not religion. It's Satanism. Kabbalah is Satanism. I just have an instinctive feeling, and of course it makes sense because Freemasonry is based on Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah say you cannot. They say you cannot know God, and they say God has no form. That is Satanism. Religion is based on, yes, you can know God, and God does have a form. God is truth, beauty, goodness, justice, and love. That's what Jesus said. God is love. So so the Kabbalah is Satanism because it denies that we can know God. Religion, true religion, says, yes, God has a form, and we can know him. And I just outlined that form. So I would say avoid Kabbalah and its practitioners like the plague.
Well, I've always avoided the Kabbalistic practitioners, but at the same time, I've studied the esoteric teaching and meaning of the Tree of Life as a symbol of occult principles, the Law of 3 and 7, and the levels of the Ladder of Jacob. All of that is profound teaching that, in my experience...
Well, I'm glad you find profundity there. I personally don't go there. And I've got... Send me an email, Charles, because I'll refer you to an article on my site which basically says the Kabbalah is a fraud. I don't know if it's true. You know, a broken clock will be correct twice a day, and there may be some truth there. But
well, you know, there's an old saying that says a good lie needs a piece of truth for a handle.
But I'd like to show you, Henry, some of my writings on Kabbalah and what I've done with some of my researches in that area. But let's leave that aside and continue on a bit. I think there's something very, there's a whole side tree of life of the satanic forces. In a way, I see them as hijacking certain symbols which really aren't their own, like the Star of David. That's not just Masonry and Judaism. That's an ancient mystical symbol.
Look at the swastika. Swastika used to be the symbol for Jagannath, which is another name for Lord Krishna in the Hindu religion. Okay, it means, and Jagannath became anglicized for the word juggernaut, which means unstoppable force. So, of course, they took that symbol. But it now means something negative. It used to mean something beautiful. You know, but there's, I have to point out that there are black sides to just about everything. You know, there's a lot of truth in the Bible. There's a lot of beauty in the Bible. There's a lot of love in the Bible. But there's a lot of stuff that got twisted, not only in practice, but also in philosophy. Twisted and misunderstood. And these
if you find inspiration in God knows the Kabbalah or the Bible or wherever, fine. But to me, you know, I don't pretend to be any kind of religious teacher or anything, but to me, my religion is my day, and God is in whatever beauty or truth I can find. What I do as in my work is I practice my religion, which is is a religion of truth. I try to find the truth about the human condition. I try to write the truth. What I'm trying to say is we can make religion very concrete simply by bringing truth and beauty and goodness into our lives. And then we don't have to spend our time with our heads buried in a book.
No, we don't. In fact, my belief is that it's this simple, that there is one profound principle that is copied and repeated by every religion on the planet, and that is simply you put it out there, you're going to get it back. The law of karma, Newton's third law, all of these transcriptions
good.
Of that same thing basically means if you do no harm, none can come to you. So who is,
you know, another good one, another
harm.
Good one, yeah, and you don't even have to, and you never have to pick up a book, a religious book again. This governs all human interaction. If everyone obeyed it, the world would be a great place, and that you do
exactly.
unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doesn't that say it all?
Yes. In fact, you know what's interesting is the Talmud says, that's the golden rule. And the Talmud says about the golden rule, in fact, it says this is the only law. All else is but commentary. So that makes the Ten Commandments a really good guide to living within that law. Don't do these
okay, but
things,
don't quote the Talmud. The Talmud is full of hatred for non-Jews.
I know, but
if they say that,
that,
they're only if the Talmud says that, they're referring to Jews only.
Probably,
they treat Jews,
you know,
like
what?
That, but not non-Jews.
Well, that probably is true, Henry, but you know what? It works.
It works, but what I'm trying to say
context.
Is
the Talmud
I'm
also.
Trying to say the Talmud and the Kabbalah are really the fount of evil.
I know.
And Jews have to realize it, and most Christians have to realize it, that Judaism is hiding behind the Old Testament, but the real Judaism rejects the Old Testament and espouses the Kabbalah and the Talmud, which is Satanism.
I know.
And people and Jews and non-Jews have to recognize that horrible fact.
But we were talking about earlier how people have gotten misled within the religions, and you know there it is. You know, they'll give them the odd gem here and there, and make them feel really superior, and then twist their heads in every other angle. If they're making good into evil, then when they're actually doing harm, which is contrary to the law, they think they're doing good.
Well, it's like Henry's subtitle says, the cult that hijacked the world. I think they hijacked their religions. They hijacked the symbology. I mean, I believe there's profound esoteric teachings within the different religious traditions, and I'm very in favor of the study of Kabbalistic teaching, but not as what it means to Henry. My experience of it has been something wholly different. But I think the point is, it's like the Star of David. They've hijacked that symbol, and the Rothschilds took that as their family coat of arms in the 1820s or something. But that's not an inherently a symbol for world Zionism, although it's become so.
Yeah. Henry, how long can you hang in with us? We're rising on 5 o'clock here, so...
I'm only good for an hour, and I think you've gotten the best of me. Let's not drink it to the dregs, okay?
Okay, that's your decision, and we have to respect it, and we do respect it. But given the time, we got 5 minutes left. How about Henry says what Henry wants to say?
Yeah. Okay. Please.
I have said what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any other questions, ask away. Or otherwise, let me get out and enjoy this beautiful sunny day. Let me take my dog for a walk.
Oh, woof, woof. I'd be right with you if we had sun. But
I had one other question particularly, Henry. One thing which for me was shocking in your book. At one point, you say the Illuminati symbol, the dot in a circle. And it's funny because I operate under the logo Zero Point, and I've used that symbol of a dot in the circle, as was used in Blavatsky, the beginning of the secret doctrine. The dot in the circle represents the first point of creation of something. So the dot in the circle, and I was shocked to see that you relate that as being an Illuminati symbol. Could you say something of that?
Well, it is. I mean, it's the most dominant symbol. You often see it as an eye. It's the penis and the vagina. The Illuminati is essentially a sex cult. They essentially espouse free sex. That's why they want to destroy marriage and the family. They just want free sex, including with children. That's what they're all about. They're a sex cult. And if you think it's a coincidence that society has been sexualized, it's not a coincidence. If you think it's a coincidence that we have sex on the brain constantly, that we've got sex coming at us all the time in the media, it's not a coincidence.
Well,
it's a
Henry,
sex cult, and that's the way they control us, through sex.
You're going to be real interested in our next guest. On our next show on the 28th, we have Kevin Annett coming on. And one of the interesting things that Kevin has found in his work the issue of the residential schools and the genocide of Native children in this country by our churches and our government, is he has found that, and we have also found through independent sources, that the Pope actually came out in his 2010 Christmas address to cardinals and Vatican staff saying that pedophilia should be more normal.
Well, there you go. And that, they're trying to normalize that. I mean, we live in a very dark pagan society, time, and what's the scary thing is so few people can see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go walk my dog now. I found this very stimulating. I'm really glad you had me on.
Could you, Henry, before you go, could you give out your two websites, please?
It's basically one website, henrymakow.com, MAKOW.com. Mm-hmm. But you can be found through its old address, which is savethemails.ca.
Great.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today, Henry.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you both so much for having me. It's always great to talk to like-minded people.
Well, we'll have to do this again
yeah.
in the near future. And in the meantime, enjoy your walk.
Thank you. Thank you both. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Wow.
We both said the same thing.
Yeah.
What an amazingly succinct summary and explanation he offered, of the Illuminati and what it was.
You know, remember at the front of the show, I was mentioning how Henry is largely misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I brought up the rents controversy is because, I mean, I was flabbergasted when I saw some of the stuff that came out on Jeff Rents. I was going, you know what, I never felt good about it, and there's something always niggling at the back of my neck. But I'm like you. I see truth. I find it. I don't care what the source is. If it's true, it doesn't matter which mouth it comes out of. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've always regarded the Rents site as, you know, a half-decent source for stuff. I've seen some garbage on that site, some completely ridiculous stuff on that site, and I've seen some really great stuff on that site.
Yeah.
And no, I don't completely trust David Icke, because I know he's self-interested like a whole bunch of other people. I know some other stuff about David Icke that I'm not going to say here because I could probably get sued. But the bottom line is that, you know, truth is where you find it. And, you know, I looked at Henry, and I saw how quickly a great many people basically turned on Henry.
Did they?
Okay?
Yeah.
Because he had brought out this information on Jeff Rents. And he did it because Rents attacked him for an article that he posted on his own site, not on Jeff's site.
Yeah, very odd.
Very odd.
Don't understand it at all. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the only thing I was upset about was that it kind of went on too long. It's like, okay, you want to have an argument? Fine, have an argument, and let's have done with it.
Yeah.
But, you see, the thing is that it's turned into literally a campaign because David Icke has joined the fray.
And yeah, which is interesting,
Icke,
yeah.
Yeah, that's real interesting.
And now we can see also, like, the, you know, David Icke gets on Alex Jones, and we see now how so much people now are questioning Alex Jones' role as a kind of disinfo agent, even though you can listen to Alex Jones and learn so much. But then at a certain point, you kind of go beyond him and you see his role.
Well, you know what the proper proportion of propaganda is? It's 90 to 10.
Oh, is it
90-10? Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
So, in other words, you can count generally when anything is being propagandized, you can count on 90% of the information basically being true, or at least plausibly deniable, or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But there's going to be a piece in there.
Yeah, and it's funny, I've never seen that piece in the work of Henry Mackow. I must say, of what I've read, like when I started trying to understand the New World Order system, you know, I read Henry Mackow's work, and I read a bunch of David Icke and John Coleman and like different authors, but nothing was as profoundly succinct, well explained and written as Henry Mackow's book, Illuminati, and then his second one following that was Illuminati Squared, or like a two, Illuminati two, and then his book, Cruel Hoax, Feminism and the New World Order.
Oh, yeah.
And he just gives you that breadth of wisdom, and he jumps around so much, and just so you can just see it in the media and TV. And
that's another thing that you did, that feminism, the cruel hoax, feminism, and the New World Order. Okay, here's the thing. Just like in the Rents issue, okay, people are so quick to demonize, very quick to demonize, because Henry, remember I said he was misunderstood, especially on the feminism issue. I had a lot of people say to me over the years, here and there, you know, it's not like a flood or anything, but it's like here and there, I've had a lot of people say to me over the years, oh, I don't like Henry Mackow because he doesn't like women. I'm going,
oh, yeah, how foolish,
crazy?
Eh?
Crazy?
I know.
The man is a lover of womankind, and, you know, he found the love of his life, the wife he referred to at the age of 55. He's only been married a few years, but he spent his life looking in the wrong direction, and when he figured himself out, he found what he needed. And now he's a very happy man and a very respectful and loving husband. But the bottom line with him is a lot of people thought that because he was anti-feminism, he was anti-women, and nothing could be farther from the truth. And how he has exposed the agenda to basically destroy the family, because this is, remember what he said, race, religion, family, nation.
Yeah.
The four pillars. Well,
yeah.
I would add a fifth leg onto that, and I would say health.
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
yeah, yeah,
they're,
excellent.
They're removing our health as well, but if
exactly.
you're talking in mental terms, this is physical.
Yeah, that's
okay?
a good point.
This is physical. So it's sort of like the penis on the dog, so to speak, pardon my French. But you know what I'm saying here? It's like they have attacked the feminism thing, and I've been saying ever since I was a kid that, because I grew up during that bra-burning stage and Gloria Steinem and, you know, mm-hmm. women burning their bras and saying, you know, I don't need somebody to open the door for me unless it's to an executive office.
Yeah, yeah, foolishness.
You know,
and I'm
saying they're starting a war between the sexes. What they needed to do was recognize their sameness. We are all human. We all deserve to be treated the same way. Instead, mm-hmm. I am woman, hear me roar. And that's exactly what happened. And then it was backed up in the media, in the music industry, which is all owned by Zionists. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. So then you look at how the media, and this is quite the trick, and then we'll go to break. We've got to go to break. But leave people to think about this one. How the media is basically mirroring everything that we are being made into. They mm-hmm. popularize the media to the point where everybody copies everybody else. The fashion, the style, the way of speaking, the way of acting. Okay, they're copying everything. And everything we are supposed to be is on TV right now, and it's pretty disgusting. And if you look at the movies, what are the movies about? Super soldiers, cyber humans.
Yeah.
Alien invasions.
Zombie apocalypses.
Yes. Exactly.
Turning people into zombies, like
yeah.
what Henry described, is so appropriate. I just see that. I can just see what the dumbification of America, as
yeah.
another author describes. I meant to say, like, I love that aspect of Henry Mackow's books, where he does discuss his relationship and I totally agree that it's like he really honors what it means to be feminine and the true nature of it. And there's that. I found his writing very spiritual in how he shares around relationships and his attitudes towards women.
I don't give this honor lightly to many people, but there is one descriptor that I can use with Henry Mackow and with a few other people that I know who are staunchly truth seekers and truth tellers, okay? But Henry Mackow is a man of honor.
Yeah.
Like, honor to me
yeah.
is everything.
Yeah.
And our governments have no honor. The elite have no honor.
I know.
There's nothing in them that's even remotely honorable.
Yeah, they don't attain their souls. They lose or sell their souls. They really do. They don't have that inherent experience of the heart, the feeling of love. They're incapable of love. They're incapable of compassion. Their false egoic nature is so dominant
mm-hmm.
that they're just controlled by money, sex, and power.
Yeah,
they don't have a heart.
I gotta ask. Who is more mind controlled, them or us?
Well, I think they are, in a way. They lack humanity.
That's
in a
right.
way, if I had a choice, like, would you like to be one of the perverted, psychopathic elites, or would you rather be a person who has a heart and feels for humanity and appreciates beauty and justice? I would choose the latter.
Yeah, but you can't choose unless it's an informed choice, and where are they going to get informed?
Well, no, they're yeah. severely conditioned from early on, in
my
a way,
point,
I think.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, exactly. Who's more mind-controlled, them or us? They can't even look at it. And you know what? I read last night a rather intriguing analysis of the storyline of The Matrix.
Oh.
And it was intriguing, and then maybe we can do our little sacred land break. But it was intriguing to me because it said that it was easy enough to get people to look at things and to recognize that there was a red pill to be taken, right? But the hard part was to get them to actually take the red pill because there was no going back. And it was a harsh reality and a soft, comfortable kangaroo pouch to live in the Matrix. So it's not just getting them to recognize there is an out, but getting them to take it and stay there, because it's easy enough to deal with the devil you know. It's not so easy to deal with the devil you don't know.
And this is I'd rather live in truth. That's how I feel.
Well, yeah,
and that's like Henry Mackow. Henry
but
said,
know what?
You know,
you see, this is the point. If you're mind controlled, Christopher, you don't have a basis on which to make that comparison.
Oh, no, you don't.
Comparison.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is what mind control does.
Yeah.
It prevents you from making that comparison, prevents you from making a decision. And that means your moral authority in your own mind, whatever is left of it, cannot be even employed. It's like having a Cadillac in the driveway, but no key.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't understand anything of their higher spiritual nature or soul nature.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
and we've grown up in that. See, that's what was so insidious, kind of like this system has been in place our whole life, and in a way it was all subliminal to the majority of us. And then when you wake up, it's a pretty big shock. It's like facing a conspiracy so monstrous you cannot believe it exists, but unfortunately it does.
It does.
And it's very tragic. And
so our job, yours and mine and Henry's and everybody else who's out there who knows a thing or two and tries to share the truth, tries to share it with people, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's very apparent.
Yeah.
That what we're trying to do here is to hotwire the brain of humanity.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do here. And hotwire the heart, too. But
that's how I would see it, to awaken the heart is how I see it. But it's also like...
Here's the thing. The problem that we've got there is because people have no comparison to make, and because they think their hearts are fully functioning.
Yeah.
To go at them through the brain. And what I found is the best way to break a paradigm in somebody's mind is actually a very simple process. You ask them a question they can't answer except with the truth. And it will drive them crazy.
Okay? Well, they're already crazy.
Yeah, I know, but once they go after it, their mind naturally will go after a resolution, an evening out, a neutrality of energy. It'll naturally go there.
We're going to have to transform both the minds and the hearts of humankind. And
exactly. Maybe
we should take a break, Dee, and we'll bring on we'll take 5 minutes and listen to...
Hot dang, Christopher, with all that work in front of us, I think we need a break.
Yeah, it would be nice to have 5 minutes. And then we'll come back and continue to awaken the hearts and minds of our listeners. And,
absolutely.
And we'll open up the phone lines, too, see if anyone would like to call in and share about our guests. I'll give out the numbers as soon as we come back.
So get your pen and paper ready now, people.
Get your pen and paper. And Doug in the studio anytime if you want to put on Sacred Land, we'll listen to some inspirational music by a native Canadian.
Yeah. Let's go breathe for
I remember all the stories my grandpa used to tell about a time in this sacred land. The buffalo did roam out on the open plain. The eagle soared high up in the sky. They were so very proud. They lived a simple life. Mother Nature did provide. There was no law, but there was no God.
they took away our land. They put us on the run. Locked us on this reservation, changed our ways of life. Promises were made, they were only lies.
Necessary. It's like humankind has never known life apart from these hidden cabals and
you know
corrupted
what?
Government and such.
I've spoken with some activists in various issues, not all my own issues, and you know the things that I interest myself in, but people who are fighting this wrong or that wrong or whatever, and a lot of them now are saying, very sadly, a lot of them are saying, I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
The burden is too much.
Yeah.
And it's like they feel burnt out, but they're not burnt out. It's just you keep banging your head against this wall. And the wall that we're banging our heads against, and I say our heads because I'm banging my head too,
is
basically the people's unwillingness to accept the fact that there is something wrong and actually take the responsibility to take a look.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I live next door to a young couple who are, I mean, they're lovely kids. They're not kids. They're, you know, mid-30s. But they are lovely, lovely people. And they just had their second child. They had their first child shortly after they moved in next door.
Yeah.
And now they've had a second child in the same home. And you know what's on the outside of that building? A smart meter.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's just gone through an entire gestational period watching TV on the opposite side of the wall from a big, fat smart meter.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
Now,
fortunately, her baby came out okay for now, but we don't know what harm that smart meter has done. And Ontario people are oblivious.
Yeah.
They're absolutely oblivious. In the meantime, massive campaigns going on in B.C.
Excellent.
Municipalities, Lumbee, B.C., Penticton, all these cities in B.C. are basically saying this is a smart meter free zone, and province, you can butt out.
Yeah. I mean, I believe we need to take the further step to demand criminal inquiry into these practices of the corporate elite that have been...
You know what?
Like, it's like they get away with a murder all the time.
I can almost say it's time for citizens' arrest, although what the hell would you do with them if you arrested them? You know,
I mean, that's what's So at times, like, it's the betrayal of the common people, like by our own police and the provincial police and the federal, the, you know, the RCMP, the betrayal of Canadian people, the betrayal of our own soldiers, that we would send our soldiers into criminal wars. Meanwhile, you know, using them as guinea pigs for all kinds of inoculations, which are going to cause them health problems. It's terrible. It's like a betrayal of our own people.
Yeah, this is the same thing that they use. Remember during the show I was talking about the Schopenhauer thing?
Yeah.
Okay? And what that BG said on Henry's site is exactly Schopenhauer. That's exactly the method that they use. They know how it works. All truth goes through that formula.
Yeah.
Okay, so they play with the formula. When it comes to propaganda, they play with the formula again.
I was going to give out this telephone number, so I want to do it quickly before we pass
by.
Okay,
yeah. Pens and paper is at the ready.
This is, yeah, you get your crayons ready. As one radio show host says, I always love it. He says, get your crayons out.
Yeah, well, I don't care what it is, chalk or eyebrow pencil or lipstick. Get to it.
Yeah, 888-627-6008. And anyone's welcome to call in on our guest today or any subject you'd like to bring up.
Yeah, and if you're wondering how come it was that I didn't open up those lines on the email promotion I sent out earlier today, it's because we wouldn't have gotten to talk to Henry.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to. It was nice to really give him some open space.
Oh,
to
give him the room. But now that, you know, Henry's left us, what he said is on the table in front of us. What he said and discussed on his website is on the table in front of us. And, of course, it's not just Henry's website. He is a teller of truth, so he collects it wherever he finds it. And, therefore, we're looking at stuff that affects every single one of us in every aspect of our life. I don't care what you're into, but he said something today that made sense to you. You know, no matter what topic it was on, he made sense to somebody.
It's funny, though. It's like I feel I should turn my TV on because I've really watched so little TV. I can't even watch TV now. Even the news people, they just make me sick because I have discernment now, and I can just see through them. They're such pathological liars.
Yeah, but you see, I don't watch a lot of TV myself, but I do watch some.
Yeah.
And the reason why, and I, you know, a lot of people said to me, get rid of the idiot box. It, you know, fries your brain, yada, yada, yada. No, it doesn't fry my particular brain. Now, I don't recommend this for everybody, but I come out of advertising, remember. Mm-hmm. I used to write this stuff. So I know exactly how they use words to spin people's opinions. I know exactly what they're saying. And what I've been doing over the last while, watching TV, is watching them ratchet up the spin. They are ratcheting up the spin so badly, and this is an example that is absolutely wild to me, okay? They have pharmaceutical ads in the States all over the place. They are everywhere. They dominate the airwaves in prime time.
Wow.
And what you find in them is there'll be 10 seconds basically allocated to the benefits or purported benefits of this drug, and the remainder of the commercial will talk about side effects up to and including death, and people still go out and follow the first 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, to my mind, it's like, hello, where are your working brain cells? Surely to God you can see 20 seconds of negativity, 10 seconds of positivity. Why is you with 10 seconds of negativity in overage? What does that tell you? Bad stuff, stay away.
Yeah.
Like, duh. And then I don't know if you saw the, oh, God, this video. I'm sure that if you did a search on YouTube for miles per hour, okay, just my, I can't remember the whole thing, but this video, I just saw it a couple of days ago, and it's a video taken in a car by some people, and it's a young man and his young and very pretty blonde with long blonde hair and big blue eyes wife, Chelsea.
Oh, and showing, supposed to show how stupid she is because she can't figure out a basic thing. But if you're traveling 80 miles an hour, how long does it?
Exactly, 65 miles an hour, or 60 miles an hour. And he says, think, Jelf, think about this.
Yeah.
He says, miles per hour.
Yeah.
And what does she come back with? Well, it depends on the tires and how many times they go around.
Big yeah,
tires
so
go
funny.
Around fewer times than little tires.
It's
see,
sad.
She had some
it's
facts
sad.
In there, but
yeah.
she could not, she was not capable of adding one dot to another.
It's
this
weird that these people take delight somehow in degrading humankind, eh?
Well, this, you
like,
know, the
it,
thing
it's,
that blows me away is that the people who are degrading people who, unfortunately, through some accident of birth or vaccination or something else, have wound up with no working brain cells. But the same people who are taking the video of that don't have a clue what's going on outside. So it's like the blind leading the blind. And even Christ said, they both fall in the ditch.
Yeah, it's like they've wanted to degrade human beings, like all the inoculations and the chemtrails and the poisons in the food. It's like, my goodness, these people... They're so psychopathic. There's something so perverse in their nature.
Well, you see, I don't understand. I don't understand how virtually all Canadians, if you ask them on the street, are you in favor of genetically modified food?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the vast majority of Canadians would say, I don't want it.
Yes.
I don't want fish genes in my tomatoes. I don't like tomatoes that wrinkle rather than going bad.
Yeah.
I am suspect. And you know, there's a simple rule of thumb in terms of healthy food. If it won't rot, don't eat it.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay? Don't eat it.
Yeah.
If it won't, that's margarine, okay? Won't rot. But bottom line here is that people are going out and they are, without even thinking about it, buying the very foods that will kill them, buying the very foods that will make them sick. And bring all kinds of money hand over fist out of taxpayers' pockets into doctors and pharmaceutical pockets.
Exactly. So they bankrupt the health system. I mean, that's what I see as part of how they're trying to bankrupt the country.
Here's the other thing. You know, Henry spoke of the four pillars, right?
Uh-huh.
Race, religion,
family and nation.
Okay,
yeah.
And I said health is the fifth leg.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the penis, because this is where you really get screwed. Okay, simply because if you are not physically healthy, your mind cannot be up to snuff. Nobody thinks they're best when they're sick.
Yeah,
and none of us are right now at our best.
Yeah,
you know, most of us are vitamin D deficient. We are magnesium deficient. These are all things that are, you know, functionally important to our brains.
Yeah,
and we
have a continual diet. Like here, where I live, south of Ottawa, we're sprayed with chemtrails like 3 or 4 days a week, and these things all come down. So we're breathing all these neurotoxins. Like each of these substances, aluminum, barium, strontium, each of them in itself can create all kinds of biological problems.
Yeah, well,
and the combinations of them.
I know, and you want to hear something even crazier? Okay, because this is when it really gets down to it. I know even people who know about chemtrails do this. They go to the local store and they buy themselves an air freshener. Okay? Have you ever read the ingredients on a Febreze bottle?
All those horrible things.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, my Lord. The toxins. Now,
I know.
Now, I'm gonna give kind of it's almost a commercial plug here. But I think it's necessary, okay? I happen to know a fellow who markets soap nuts, okay? Have you ever heard of soap nuts?
No.
Okay, well, Brett Wilson from Dragon's Den actually invested in them. Okay, so you know that, you know, to attract one of the dragon's attention and get them to invest in a company is pretty solid. So, you know, I've had a lot of... I had a lot of faith in natural stuff, but I could not believe how good this stuff is, okay? These are nuts that grow on trees in South Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And they replace laundry detergents, body soaps, hair conditioners, fabric softeners, and all you do is put them in a little bag and put them in hot water, and it becomes this soapy liquid.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, the first time I did my clothes in this with these soap nuts, the water was absolutely black. My clothes were not that dirty, but this is the accumulated residues from laundry.
Wow, it took so much out.
It took that much out, and I'm going, you know what? I was wearing that.
Yeah.
This is what people don't get. You put, I love the way my sheets smell. Do you? And do you like the fact that you are being invaded by petrochemicals every time you sleep? How do you like that?
Yeah.
And how do you like putting your baby to sleep on stuff like that? You know, how do you like shampooing your baby with petrochemical products? How do you like bathing your child in fluoride water with chlorine bleach in it?
And giving them toothpaste with fluoride that if they swallow a gram of it, you almost have to admit them to a hospital.
Oh, and wait, you want to hear a real good one? This is, I mean, if you don't call the FDA psychopathic after this, I tell you, they have recently come out with all kinds of heavy-duty warnings about skincare products that are coming out and having fulminate of mercury in them.
Wow.
Okay? Now, I'm finding this really hilarious because mercury is still in vaccines that the FDA approves and recommends.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Health Canada says, don't eat tuna, too much tuna, especially if you're pregnant, one can a month. Okay? At the same time, as they're saying, one can a month of tuna is too much for a pregnant woman, they will slam up that same pregnant woman with five or six vaccines full of mercury while she's pregnant. And you're going to tell me that something going through the digestive tract is going to affect you the way it does when it's injected right into your blood?
Yeah.
Hello? Like, this is craziness, people. This is craziness. This is if you can't add a dot like that blonde girl Chelsea, the poor dear, pretty little thing, too, you know, not two working brain cells. If you put her brain in a mustard seed, it'll rattle like a peanut in a boxcar. But, you know, enough about Chelsea. The thing is, you know, people are incapable, just like her, of taking one position, seeing another position, and seeing a connection between them.
Yeah.
And this is what people need to understand. This is one of the reasons, and I've told you, we've discussed this, and I know you understand this fully because you've talked about it, you know, the de-appearance on this show. But the whole formation of this world government control is hinging on removing our nationhood. That's where the world government platform is happening.
Yeah,
and, the
and
way
they've done
that,
this legally, like how we're now subject to these international laws. Sorry.
Actually, they haven't, because if you examine the actual agreements, I believe, and this is something we will explore next month, and we'll get to that show in talking about what's coming up in a minute, because, boy, do we have some guests lined up. Holy smokes. This next month or so, you guys got to tune in, because this is going to be blockbuster. But the bottom line is these trade agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is where they sign these international agreements, which are international contracts, which bear sanctions and penalties and can be sued over and everything else, just like any other contract. They supersede our domestic laws.
Yes.
And what people are not connecting the dots to yet, they're finally getting the idea that these trade agreements damage our sovereignty. They're finally getting that idea. I've been screaming about it 10 years. I know you've been talking about it a long time.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is they don't have it down yet. There's one additional fact. And you know what that fact is?
No.
Our Constitution is also a domestic law. Think about that.
Is also domestic law.
It's a domestic law, meaning it too is superseded by international contracts.
Okay.
Then,
but we've signed on to Agenda 21.
We are done for with the UN. The World Trade Organization is what first tipped me off to all of this, because right on their website it says that when you join the World Trade Organization, you agreed to govern your sovereignty according to the wishes of the group.
Yeah.
That's what it said.
We're
still there.
We've had decades of politicians who have behaved in a treasonous way.
Yeah,
going along with these international cabals and these conspiracies against us.
You want to watch me make a few people mad?
As if we haven't made enough people mad today.
We had Henry on. That probably pissed off the Rent fans no end, but that's okay. You know, I'm a fan of truth. Like I said, I don't care where I get it. If it's true, it's true, and it can't be threatened by anything. So if it's something that I adhere to, the reason I adhere to it is because I have proven to myself well enough that I'm comfortable in saying, as far as I know, it's true.
Yeah. Okay, so let's make someone else mad.
Well, remember we were talking about basically idols with feet of clay. We were talking about a lot of charlatans coming out. Now, I do not regard Ron Paul to be a complete and total charlatan. But there's something back in the background bothering me big time, okay? And that's his foreign policies on trade. He says he believes in fair trade, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, fair trade is what we all want.
Mm-hmm.
Fair trade basically means a handshake deal with honor. There's that word honor again. Okay, that's what that basically means. We honestly agree, and this is going to be good for both of us, and this is what we agree to. Okay, and you do it issue by issue, and you barter, and you do all the things that are honorable. Okay? Well, the bottom line there is that there is absolutely nothing honorable about a trade agreement because, as we all know, these international agreements supersede. Our governments don't have the mandate to give our sovereignty away. I think any population that allowed their government to willy-nilly just give their sovereignty away needs a serious head shake.
Well, we've done it because they've done it incrementally and through deception. And they always put, the euphemism names on it, like it's free trade when really it's not free trade.
It's not free at all.
No, what it's designed to do is undermine the manufacturing component of our society and the middle class to export all our jobs to make us serfs for them to steal our resources. That's free trade. We'll let the foreign influences control our resources,
steps,
and we're unemployed.
And in steps Ron Paul. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, Ron Paul
steps into the argument, and he starts talking about fair trade, and everybody goes, well, that's good. Right? And he talks about restoring the Constitution, and everybody says, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And he talks about freedoms and rights and liberties, and everybody says, well, that's good.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. And this is the thing that's been driving me crazy all the way along, and I don't know the man. All I can do is say what I feel from what I've seen. And what I've seen is that the man is not against trade agreements, therefore he's not against a world government. Because surely to God, he knows what those agreements are all about. So at the same time as he says he's about fair trade, if he's pro-trade agreement, He's not nothing of the sort. And he's basically saying, I will restore the Constitution. At the same time, he says he's willing to make the agreements that basically make it null and void. And then you have George Bush before him in reference to the Constitution, and I quote, the Constitution, nothing but a goddamn bit of paper.
Piece of paper, yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have David Cameron, Prime Minister of the UK. And what he said a few weeks ago, he said, human rights are getting in the way of protecting Britons from terrorism.
Oh, yeah, okay. He should be in jail. We've got to...
Oh, yeah, and then we have...
The rights of the elite.
Yeah, and we're not done yet.
Protecting.
We have our own justice minister, Rob No Relation Nicholson. Thank you very much. I'm glad I'm not related. I've got him in writing saying to me on numerous occasions, quote, your rights are subject to interpretation. Okay? My response to Mr. Nicholson is, not by you, pal. Not by you. The Supreme Court is the only entity in this country that can interpret my rights, not the government.
But then we just probably come to the same corruption all through the Supreme Court, too.
What he means by that is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what he means by that is our rights are subject to interpretation because our Bill of Rights no longer applies. That's what he means.
Yeah.
And that's what he's not saying.
Yeah. I mean, these people are all pathological liars. I mean, they know the system.
I like to see, we're on the topic of Ron Paul.
Well, Dee, we've got
Ed from Sarnia. Give him one more second. But
this is
the point about Ron Paul.
Okay.
Okay, and this is what bothers me. And then, Ed, I'm going to be happy to hear from you. Bottom line, okay, how do you protect a constitution that is usurped and superseded by international law? And how do you stop from a world government platform being formed if you are in favor of trade agreements that destroy your sovereignty? Those two questions I have to ask Ron Paul. If he sufficiently answers them, then I'll say, okay, he's your man. Until then, red herring.
Okay, so I like Ron Paul in many ways, too.
So
he's the only one who offers anything other than being a pathological liar.
Is he a false hope? Is he
I don't know. And you know, you raise important questions. But let's move. We've got a call in. Ed from Sarnia. Please, Ed, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good.
We're doing okay. Hi, Ed.
Good.
I know that voice.
Oh,
is Pat with you?
Huh?
Is Pat with you?
No.
No?
Oh, no, and Cast Away, the mice will play.
Yeah, I know. Okay, what do you got on your mind, pal?
How are you doing?
No. Are you kidding? We're smoking.
I know that. I hear it. You're talking about NAFTA. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Bring it right home. I'm going to bring it right home so everybody understands what NAFTA is. It's called free trade. I've been married for 34 years. Don't ever tell me free trade works. Okay?
Too funny.
If nobody understands that, okay, then we have a problem in this country. The other thing is Ron Paul. You really got to watch Ron Paul. I think he's the one that's going to slide up the center. He's a Rosicrucian. He's also a Mason, high up in the order.
Degree.
Yep. And these things you have to watch.
Oh.
Santorum dropped out, yes, because of Chapa. He's Rosicrucian, too.
Mm-hmm.
Romney, he's right up on the top of the Masons, too.
And Gingrich.
And
he's a known Satanist.
So you really don't have any help over there. You don't have any hope, as far as I'm concerned. Over here, we're in trouble too.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, come on. Let's face it. Harper's got his pseudocrinsis, and so does, you know, so does his wife. I mean, you know, kind of the weird things go on. But the thing of it is with Ron Paul. And it's only my opinion, but I've talked to enough people to think, you know, maybe there's something to this. Everybody, you know, he's been yelling out, stop the Fed, get rid of the Fed for years. Now, we all know the Fed is Rothschild-owned, and Morgan's and everybody else, Rockefeller's are in on it, and they rent their money. The people over there rent their money, not like us.
And our government
they
rents
rent
our money.
Right, but I mean, you know, there's a difference here. So they're screwed, we're screwed. Anyway, the thing of it is he wants to stop the Fed. Fantastic. Everybody's crazy about that. Stop the Fed. Stop and listen to what he's saying. Stop the Fed, you stop the money. Good time to bring in a new money exchange.
Yeah, well, you see, at the same time as you're saying that, We know that there are 130 countries poised to revalue their currency. We know that the United States credit rating just dropped another notch to double A.
And China just went up.
I mean, stopping the Fed, I mean, that what that can be is Americans taking back the functions of the Fed themselves, and it serves the American population.
That may happen just momentarily, but that's not going to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that what we really need is the application of the anti-terrorist laws against the true terrorists who have really been the terrorists and seize their assets worldwide.
Off with their heads.
Who's going to do that, Chris? Okay,
I wouldn't, off with their heads. I don't believe in that.
Who is going to do that? Who is going to rise up and do something?
Well, the concept of it is what I try to promote, is the concept of what that would really mean.
Chris, what you're going to do, if you're going to have something like that, it's called a revolution. If you're going to have a revolution, you got to have a leader. You got to find a leader first. And there isn't a person in this country that's got a brain. It's like Dee said, you could take that blonde, and I seen that MPH deal, that Mopra. I sat here and I roared. I showed it to my wife. She looked at me like I was daft. And of course, she's blonde, too. Anyway, but the thing of it is, I shouldn't have said that.
No, you
But I, no, I said that
now.
To get I
don't
said that to get
much
you
in
going.
Your free trade over the next while there.
Yeah, well,
I know.
I'll give you
but a no, Dee knows.
I have his wife's email.
No, Chris, Dee knows I love my wife. I mean, I really do.
Yeah,
she's a
I
gorgeous
know.
Lady.
We're just joking.
And she's smart. She's a bookkeeper. She knows, she plays with numbers. And I'm the one she looks at. But anyway, the thing of it
You're likely lucky, Ed, that you have a wife who kind of grasps what. What's going on and kind
Trust
of supports
me.
You in your involvement in what?
Trust me, Christopher. He's damn lucky. He knows it.
Yeah. But we don't have too much longer, and I do wanted to end on a couple notes and advertisements.
Sure.
So if you had any last points you wanted to share.
No, I just thinking that I'm just injecting some fun into the show, eh? But the thing of it is. But it's something that I'm looking at. If you're gonna need some sort of revolution, you gotta have some sort of a leader. You gotta, even in Canada, who is coming out ahead of the game? Who is standing up and rising up and saying, hey, you know, we need to do this and we need to do that? Nobody.
Yeah, any volunteers?
In Canada, we all walk around with our arms, our heads.
Well,
in
you
our
know
arms.
What the problem is, Ed? You stick your head above the crowd, you attract tomatoes.
Yeah. No, it's true. Ed, like I can't see anyone in the social in the public domain. Like there's no one, and no one would be promoted because the media is so totally corrupted. And if someone begins to arise, the only thing they'll do is demonize that person and misrepresent
their role. And then they'll enact a snatch and grab law, and you're out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what's happened in the States. The only ones that are allowed to speak are the ones that are allowed to run for president.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
other than that, anybody else stands up, you're not going to hear from them.
Bear in mind as well, Ed, I'm going to take that as an opportunity to re-mention Obama's new executive order. Now, bearing in mind that when you have governments that are ruled by private orders of leaders, you don't have democracy anymore. You have a dictatorship, and we have that in orders and council in our own government and executive orders in the states. The last one Obama signed was a doozy, and it basically gives ownership and control of literally everything, including the physical beings of the American people, to the president and his continuation of government plan. Okay,
well,
everything
sure.
gets taken over.
Hey,
we're talking homes, factories, cars, anything you have, your bank account, your money, gone for the benefit of the government. And they're bringing back debt law so that if you owe money to the U.S. government, they're going to take your passport. So welcome to the prison
plan. Well, you might as well put a fence around the state, say, because it's martial law.
Well, essentially, that's what they've got is martial law. These are wartime measures. And they're meant for normally they're meant for wartime. We've seen them applied before in the last century, and we've all suffered with them, or at least our parents or grandparents.
Well, I think we have it here.
We have that burgeoning here, only they're not calling it that, therefore people aren't recognizing it as that.
That's right.
Yeah. This is the thing. We live on labels in this society. We live on labels.
Listen, I live down in the valley, okay, Sarnia. And, you know, it's a union town. You talk like this, man, nobody's listening to you.
No.
But they'll all listen to unions, and unions aren't working.
No, well, you know what? It took 2 years for the National Farm Union to figure out that trade agreements weren't good for them. It took years.
I know.
I know.
We hear that about that. One of the things that is big in Ontario, and it's in the courts, it's really coming on strong, is the OLA, the Ontario Land Association.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, every person's place is their land, and that's what it should be. We don't have a Second Amendment. But we do have land. When the government takes your land, you don't have anything.
You're described as a tenant.
And we're going to be talking more about the UN agenda and that local sustainable development project over the next while, which is a movement to deprive people of their property rights. We're going to need to let you go, Ed, because we're coming down and I need a few minutes to close up at the end. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks
for calling.
It'll make them wonder what you're up to.
Yeah, okay. I know. Okay, take care, Ed. Thanks.
Okay, guys.
Bye.
Okay, Dee, why don't you just give a quick review of the three shows we have coming up over the next shows?
That's exactly what I had in mind, Christopher, because, you know, a lot of what we were talking about, we're going to be getting to in the course of things. Now, our next show, which is on the 28th, right?
Yep.
Our next show on the 28th is going to feature for the whole 2 hours Kevin Annett. Now, Kevin is from the International Tribunal for Crimes of Church and State, and this group is involved worldwide in the genocidal activities of the certain religious orders in the world, most mightily among them the Catholic and the United and Anglican churches, and the genocide committed against our Aboriginal brothers and sisters through the residential school system and through other machinations that have been done. I just recently read, just to give you an idea of how governments treat natives, I mean, we saw the Attawapiskat scenario. We've seen that ongoingly.
Yeah.
But
because I have some other things we want to do too.
It's okay. I won't be long. Anyway, I just saw recently that there are abandoned uranium mines down in Navajo territory in Arizona and in that area. And these mines are terribly, terribly dangerous. Mm-hmm. For generations, indigenous people have been getting sick and sicker and sicker. The budgets for cleaning up these mines are practically non-existent, and the government does nothing about it. And you see this kind of thing. This is what Kevin's on about. He's going to be with us for the whole 2 hours, and that's on the next show. Now, immediately following on our first show in the month of May, on the 12th, we have two absolutely incredible guests. One is Una St. Clair, from Citizens for Safe Technology, and she is just this amazing powerhouse woman who is spearheading a lot of the BC activity against smart meters and the damage that they do. And when we get into that particular aspect, it's going to be real interesting, because coupled with her on that show and following her is an activist from California who also happens to be a documentary and regular film producer from Burbank, California, and that's Mr. Jerry Day. Now, Jerry Day, if you look him up on YouTube, you'll find he's got a lot of documentary information posted on the smart meter scenario. And if you look at things like in the news in Toronto, you remember last year we had window panes and glass panes from patios falling down onto the main street downtown in Toronto, and nobody could figure out why. Guess what? smart meters, Wi-Fi.
Wow. Well,
okay. So
yeah, I've heard them affecting the iron in, and metals in buildings.
Yes,
the continuous source of radiation.
Infrastructure is being toasted
okay,
by this
and
stuff, but we are. Now, those are the two that we have.
Okay, and then the next show subsequently, maybe just a moment.
The last show in May on the 26th, okay,
mm-hmm.
We've got Shelley Ann Clark. Now, for those of you who don't know who Shelley Ann Clark is, she is the woman who literally typed up and organized all of the submissions and documentation for the Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement negotiated by Mulroney.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a story. I will just read you this very quick paragraph.
The very quick here, Dee.
Very quick. The Sale of a Country, this is her new book, which I'm looking at, is a riveting account of what took place behind the scenes at the Canadian Free Trade Negotiations Office, shrouded in a veil of secrecy, clandestine meetings, midnight shredding of briefing books, and key working papers. There was still time for the creation of a sex pit. Okay?
Wow.
Now, you start with that kind of thing, and then you finish up with the fact that Canadians have never seen that actual agreement. It's buried in a bunker north of Ottawa. And the agreement that was shown to the public is a fake. Mulroney gave away our water.
Okay, so we've got three exciting shows coming up, and thanks, Dee's lined up those shows, and that's our schedule over the next while. Dee, why don't you just give out your website? We're right down to, we got a couple minutes here.
Yeah, I know. I'm at www.thenhf.com. Under the Canadian section of that website, I am the Executive Director of the National Health Federation of Canada. And
okay,
that's where
thanks.
You'll find me.
Okay, thanks, Dee. And I'd encourage listeners, my website's at www.zeropointspeltoutinletters.ca. And I have my chemtrail, my video, my first YouTube video, which is called A Day in the Life of the Chemtrail Poisoning of the Citizens of Ottawa, which is my video documentation of chemtrails in the city of Ottawa taken from Parliament Hill. And it's a clever little video with some interesting features in it. So I'd encourage people to have a look at...
Well, you know what? Where mm-hmm. you put the name of the city, Ottawa... What you should do is put brackets and say, enter your city here.
Yeah, because it could be any city. Yeah, I've just completed a new video, Dee, which I'm going to start public showing on, and it's called Look at This World on the Chemtrail Poisoning of the Citizens of Kempville. And it's a half-hour documentary, which I've just finished, and that's going to be up on YouTube probably in about 2 weeks. And then I'm going
to
start showing it publicly.
Send out the links, and we'll make sure people watch it. Because
yeah, great.
What we're talking about here is important to all of us, and I think the most important thing that people need to take away is take your own mind and put it to good use.
And open your hearts and be upright of heart. And we're going to have to thank BBS Radio, Dee Nicholson, and Christopher Holmes, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you all.
Thank you all, everyone, and God bless, and take care, Christopher. We need you.
Yeah, you too, Dee.
Okay.
Goodbye.